Last Wednesday night, Pastor always does an awesome job ministering, and as he was preaching, he made a couple of statements that just hit me on the inside of me, and I thought, I'm going to settle down on that, see what the Lord has to say further about that. One of the things he said, he was speaking about the gifts of healing. He said, prayer will activate the gifts. Prayer will activate the protection of God. So I started thinking about what it means to be activated. You know, there's too many people in the body of Christ that are inactive. They're sitting on the sidelines. And I asked Pastor before I came out here, because I was wanting to even think about some illustrations of being inactive. Well, the definition, first of all, of inactive is this: being out of use. And so I asked him if this was accurate, and he said, yeah, that's what happens, that sometimes maybe in sports a major player suffers an injury, he's sitting on the sidelines, and he's listed as on the inactive list or the injured list. And you know, I got thinking about that too many Christians are sitting on the sideline and God's seeing them inactive. And that's not what we should be doing. We need to be activated. Amen. The word activated means this: to set in motion. So I believe tonight we're going to be inspired by the word of God, and we are going to say, hey, I'm not going to be inactive anymore. I'm going to get my act together. I'm going to get in motion. I'm going to get in the game of life. Another illustration about being inactive, and I looked this up, refers to the military. And it says, to be inactive means members of the armed forces who are not performing or available for military duties. And then another branch of the military is the reserves. And often they're inactive because they aren't needed. But when the call goes out, they need to be there. Johnny on the spot. When they're called up, they're called to action. They're called to get with it and go wherever they are needed. Well, I believe that God is calling all of us. And this came to me too. You know that God, when he calls us, he does not want to get a voicemail that says, I'm temporarily unavailable. Just leave a message and I'll get back with you. No, our hearts, our ears need to be open to when the Spirit of God is saying, I need you. I need you to go over there and pray for somebody. I need you to go and visit that person. I need you to witness to that person sitting there next to you on BART or your co-worker. Don't have him say, get this, oh, I'm unavailable. No, we hear and we obey. How many of you are available to do what he is calling us to do in this day and in this hour? In case you've been on some deserted island somewhere by yourself and you don't know, our world, our nation is in trouble. And God needs us. We are the army of the Lord. He needs us to take rank and file and do what he says to do. Amen. Amen. Now listen to these wonderful scriptures that I have for you tonight. This is in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32 through 34. And I want to read it out of the message. So my dear friends, listen carefully. Those who embrace these my ways are most blessed. Say, that's me. Do you embrace God's way, God's word, his way of living and being? Well, that's us. Amen. We're blessed then. Mark a life of discipline and live wisely. Don't squander your precious life. Blessed the man, blessed the woman who listens to me. Awake and ready for me each morning, alert and responsive as I start my day's work. God has something in mind for us every single day. We have the honor and we have the privilege to work with Him hand in hand, to be responsive to what He is asking us to do. And He said in this time that we're living particularly, we need to live wisely. Yes. Don't squander away or waste your life and your time. We won't always be doing what we're doing right now. Our time here on this earth is the shortest thing we'll ever do. If you live to be 120 or 150 years old, that's a speck compared to eternity. And this time, let me just say this, some of you younger ones in here, I see a lot of gray hair in here. And I don't have gray hair, but no, anyway. There's a reason. But time does go quickly. You know, I'm going to be 70 in September. And I look back and I'm like, what? Really? How can that be? I'm going to be like my dear friend, Lynette Hagen. She says, just find an age that you like and stay there. So, I mean, she settled on 50. She liked 50 because her kids were gone and she was feeling good and she had new freedom. So, hey, she settled on 50 and now both of her kids are older than her. But nonetheless, time does go quickly. And that's why He said here, don't squander your precious life. Don't get to the end of your life full of regrets. Nope, we're going to live wisely. We're going to choose to check in with Him daily. Say, Lord, how can I be a blessing today? How can I represent You this morning, this afternoon, this evening? Amen. God is up to something, and we need to make sure we don't miss it. I like how this said here. It's talking about don't be so concerned and squander your time. We should not get so absorbed and concerned and attentive to things in the natural that we're just oblivious to what God is doing. Of course we have responsibilities. Some of you have kiddos still at home. You can't just say, wake up and say, well, I'm just going to give all my attention today to God. Kids, no, I don't have kids. Yeah, you do. You've got kids and you need to take care of them. You have a job and you need to go to your job. But even as we are about our daily business, we can focus upon Him. We can give our attention to Him. We don't have to be praying in tongues 24/7, but we need to have our spirit in tune with Him and know what He knows. Listen to what He's telling us, even about our day. Be awake spiritually. Start each day ready for us to use, for Him to use us. Responsive to Him. That's part of how we get activated. Amen. We listen with the ears of our heart. And then we're available to say what He wants us to say, to pray what He wants us to pray. These first few scriptures here are kind of sobering, but you know, it's the day in which we are living. We need to be wide awake. Listen to this one in 1 Peter 4:7 out of the Message. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up. So take nothing for granted, but stay wide awake in prayer. Can I get an amen? Amen. This old world is not going to last forever. But what we do for Jesus will carry eternal weights of glory and eternal rewards waiting for us. And in the meantime, what are we supposed to do? Stay wide awake in prayer. That same passage in the Good News Translation says this: the end of all things is near. Can I get another amen? Amen. You must be self-controlled and alert, be able to pray. God knows what time it is. He's alert. He's active. He's watching over His Word to perform it. Doesn't the Bible tell us that? In Jeremiah 1:12, then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active. God's activated. God is on the move, on the move, on the move. Hallelujah. And even when you can't see what He's doing, even when I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, I know He's still moving. God doesn't sit still. God is active and God is alert and He's working things out for you right now behind the scenes. You might not be able to see it, feel it, touch it yet, but it's coming into full manifestation. Amen. He is able and He is willing to perform and to do what we have committed unto Him. Give it to Him. Trust Him and know He's working. He's working. Everybody say this. God is working, working, working. Hallelujah. And if He is active and if He is awake and He is alert, we need to be the same. The church, His body, needs to be wide awake. Don't put our heads in the sand and ignore everything that's going on around us. Problems? No, I don't have any problems. Issues in our nation? No, there are not any issues. That's not faith. That's foolishness. And that's just being ignorant. We're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. We are to be fully aware of them. And then we are to know that we have weapons that counterattacked every one of His devices. Amen? Amen. Now that another passage over in 1 Peter 5:8-9. I want to read out of the Passion. Be well balanced. Always alert. Not just alert and keen spiritually when you come to church on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. That's great. You need to be. But every day, each morning, morning by morning, looking on the inside here. Do I need to go here? Should I go there? Should I not take that route? Should I not take that mode of transportation? Always alert. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Now, I know this isn't shouting ground, but it's the Bible. Then listen to the rest of that. Take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kind of troubles you endure. Our brother over here, Brother Raul, just came back from the Philippines. And I'm sure it was a wonderful time of ministry. But Christians in the Philippines, they got a lot of things to deal with as well. They've got persecutions. The devil isn't just a United States devil. He's all over the world. And Christians all over the world deal with problems. in many nations, it's a choice. If you choose Jesus, you're literally signing your death sentence. You could be killed for it. That's persecution that we don't know anything about. But the Apostle Peter here, he's telling us we need to be well balanced. We need to be aware of the enemy's tactics. And we need to take a decisive stand against him. Be strong and vigorous in our faith. Did you know some people say that Christianity, is just a crutch for the weak? Absolutely not. Good Christianity, Bible Christianity, is not for wimps. We are not wimps. We are warriors. And we know how to fight. But we fight the good fight of faith. And it's a good fight because we win. We win in Him. Hallelujah. Now that same passage in the NLT says this. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. Prowls along like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Just declare this with me. He may not devour me. Because I'm staying wide awake. And I'm alert spiritually. Now, I was looking at that passage there, 1 Peter 5:8, actually in the Spirit-filled Bible, and it triggered a lot of thoughts for me. Let me just read a little bit about what it says here. Again, don't get scared. We're not scared, right? We're not discouraged because we win. The devil's ultimate agenda is to destroy us. Anybody figured that out? Not merely to hurt, maim, or discourage, but to devour and destroy us. He tries to do that by getting us to bow to him, circumstances, the pressures, or forces of his evil design. And I'm going to paraphrase this and do it a little bit differently, but this is out of the Spirit-filled Bible. How did Jesus overcome the devil in the wilderness? What was one of the tactics that the enemy was using with Jesus? He said, if you will bow down and worship me, all you see out there will be yours. And he still uses that same tactic with us. No, we're smarter than that. We're not going to be devil worshipers. We're not going to put a statue of the devil in our house and start bowing down. But one of the ways he uses that same thought that he tried on Jesus is when all these bad things start happening in our lives, he's trying to get us to bow down, to cower down, and to say, oh, God's not really good. God's not really the healer. God doesn't really love me. Getting us to bow down to his lies. And to his thoughts. Jesus refused the devil's temptations. He didn't bow. Amen. We can do the same. But this is, if we don't bow to him or bend under pressure when he brings all of this junk, we will only bow our knees to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Remember the Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When my little brother, I was just with my family. I was thinking about this today. I have two younger brothers. My brother Ricky will be here September 8th. But I do have another brother. His name is Randy. He lives on the farm we grew up on. It was so fun to be there. Went out to the farm and all of that. But I remember when he was little, our mom and dad would read us Bible stories, and he thought these guys' name were Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go. Because it was a bedtime story, Abednego, to bed we go. But anyway, these three Hebrew children, they didn't bow and they didn't burn, and neither will we. We don't bow to his lies. We don't take those thoughts. We don't prop the devil up here as some big bad guy in a little itty bitty God. No! Our God's greater. We only bow our knee to our Lord Jesus Christ. But something I saw in the word bow, an acrostic of bow. Listen to this. Number one for be, believe. Believe on the Lord your God. You and your household shall be saved. Believe the word of God. It will not return unto us void. Believe the word of the godly prophets have spoken, and you shall prosper. Believe, and you will see the glory of the Lord. Amen. And bow stands for obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Not just hearers, but we are obeyers and we are doers of the word of God. Anybody in here, can you say that? I'm a doer, I'm a doer, I'm a doer of the word of God. When we obey his word and his promptings, we will experience deliverance and victory every single time. Don't get hung up on the temptations and the tests and trials. They come to all of us, but we're not going to magnify that. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, no temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. You are not a special case. You are a beloved child of God. You are special to him. But anything that we have faced, I guarantee you, somebody else has faced it as well. The devil doesn't have any new tricks. He's got the same old bag of tricks. So don't get all bummed out. Why is this happening to me? Center in on this. But God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Don't magnify the temptation. Magnify Jesus. Obey what he tells you to do. Believe him first. Yes. Obey what he tells you to do. Yes. And there will be your deliverance. Yes. In that is your victory. Yes. And your way out of what you're going through. And then W stands for worship. We're believing. We're obeying. And we're worshiping our God. It's time to take our worship to another level. Amen. Time to activate on the inside of us the power that is released when we worship God. There is no one, no person, no organization, no political party that should be receiving the glory, honor, and worship that's due to him alone. Let no one take the place due to him in our hearts. He alone deserves the glory. He alone is worthy to be praised, to be magnified. God is God. Don't let anything else, any government, try to take that place in our thinking. Well, the government will take care of me. Government is not God. Years ago, we were in Russia, and those sweet little Christians over there, they had known oppression. They had been under that regime of communism where government tried to say, I'm your God. There is no God. And remember those little Russian people? They'd lift their hands, and we kept hearing them say this: Bogue is Bogue. Bogue is Bogue. So then we said, what are they saying? What does that mean? They were so happy to be able to declare, God is God. God is God. Our government is not God. We know the truth. God is God. Let's not forget that. God is God. No man, no political party is God. Our hearts belong to Him. He is worthy. He is the Most High God. And from our sobreta, and from our hearts, we give Him our highest praise and our highest worship. Don't let anyone or anything take that place due to Him. Bow your knee, bow your heart only unto Him. We worship and we praise our God. And this is what happens when we do. Exodus chapter 15, verse 2 in the NLT. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. He gives me victory. This is my God. I will praise Him, my Father's God. I will exalt Him. When we activate that worship on the inside of Him, when we exalt Jesus above what's going on in our lives, He gives us strength. He gives us songs of deliverance. He gives us the victory. Isn't that what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57? Out of the Amplified. But thanks be to God. Woo! Thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors, actually more than conquerors, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Can anybody lift your hands for a minute? Give Him some thanks. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Woo! Hallelujah. We believe You, Lord. We obey You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We're activating our faith tonight. Our faith in You. Our faith in Your goodness. Our faith in Your mercy. Woo! Someone needs to declare it. Thank You, Lord. Your mercy's hovering over my loved one. Oh, we activate. We have faith in Your mercy. Faith in Your goodness. Woo! Faith in Your love. Yes, and faith in Your power. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, my last point, we'll just spend a few minutes here on this. We are getting activated tonight. Another key to being activated is stay charged up on the inside. Stirred up. Charged up. Have you ever gotten a new device? I remember even when I bought this iPad. They said, now you got to take this home, plug it in, and charge it before it's ready for use. That's what activation is. Ready for use. We got to charge our devices. Well, if we have to charge our devices, we got to make sure our spirit man is charged and activated and ready for use. Amen? So I was thinking about that today. Not only should we be charged, but this phrase came up on the inside of me. We need to be supercharged. So I was thinking about supercharged. No, I did not say supersized. Don't go to McDonald's tonight and say supersize everything. No, I said supercharged. So I actually Googled it. What does it mean to get supercharged? And this is what it said. To charge greatly or excessively. To charge greatly or excessively. We need to be excessive in our word intake. Excessive in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Excessive in praying in tongues. Didn't the Apostle Paul say, I pray in tongues more than y'all? I can say that real good. More than y'all. I love it. He must have been from the southern part of that region. I pray in tongues more than y'all. That means he was supercharged. He was excessive in praying in the Spirit. Greatly charged, supercharged, excessive. And his excessiveness about praying in the Spirit caused him to be so activated on the inside, so in tune on the inside, that he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He wrote the epistles where the church lives and where we see who we are in Christ Jesus. That's what being supercharged will do for us. When we are supercharged, we're going to go further and we're going to last longer. Amen. Y'all, some of you are old enough to remember the Energizer Bunny commercial. Anybody remember that? The little Energizer Bunny, and they had another bunny next to it, and it died way back here, but the Energizer Bunny just kept on going. You know what? It wasn't about the bunny. What were they trying to sell? Not a cute little bunny. It was about the battery on the inside. The other bunnies battery was a cheap off-brand battery, apparently, and it died. But the real battery, woo, the Energizer battery, kept the bunny going when the other bunny died. That's what we need to do in the realm of the Spirit. We need to treat our spirit like a battery. Don't let it die. Don't even let it get low. I see Pastor Tom's on his phone, and I know he's taking notes. He's not texting. But have you ever had your phone out and you forgot to charge it that day? And you're in the middle of a conversation and you go, oh, I'm in the red zone. I got to talk real fast. My battery's about to die. If there was a meter on your forehead tonight, with your spirit man battery, would it be way over there in the red zone? And somebody looked at you and like, oh, May, you better pray in the Holy Ghost, dear. You're fading, and you're fading quick. Your spirit man's on his last leg. No. Supercharged on the inside of us. Well, we talk a lot in this church about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and we will continue to talk a lot about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. I'm going to end with this one, though. Jude, there's one chapter, verse 20 in the Amplified. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. I love this. Make progress. Rise like an edifice. Higher and higher. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up. Charge your spirit man by praying in the Holy Ghost. Just like you charge your device. We've got places to go. We've got things to do in this day and in this hour. We need to be activated on the inside of us. Activated, alert, and awake. One of the ways to stay that way is praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I was doing that today, often the Lord gives me a kind of a word ahead of time. And as I was praying in the Spirit today, this is what I spoke out after I'd been praying in tongues. You can have an understanding of the times and seasons you are living in without getting in fear. Instead, as you pray in the Holy Ghost, activating your spirit man, you will hear clear. And you will know what to do. You'll know what to say. You'll know how to pray. You'll know how to live above the fray. And you will know answers are on the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight.